Good morning, everyone. We're going to have to work through this quickly. Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You're going to, if you've got your papers with you, you can put them away. I'm going off paper today. Cold turkey. I went through the Off Papers Anonymous class. That's right. John chapter 15. I want to talk to you a minute about myself. And this is not going to be something that that is easy to talk about. So please give me your ears. Just let me talk to you for a little while. And hopefully we'll get through all this today. If you turn to John chapter 15, the question that I'm asking with this message this morning is, why do I not have joy? Why do I not have joy? If you look at John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for dealing with me kindly. I thank you, Lord, for showing me your mercy. And Lord, I pray that your mercy will never leave me. Lord, there's so many mistakes that a person makes in their Christian life, Lord, and I apologize for the years of making them in front of you. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that what I'm about to tell these folks will help them. Help them to stay away from the pitfalls that they can so easily fall into. Help them to stay away from the things that would keep them from doing what you would have us to do. Lord, please help us this morning. Help us to realize that we have a job. We've been given a job, Lord, and we've been shirking that responsibility far too long. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John, I'm doing away with this. I won't put up with even 2 minutes of that. Yes, ma'am. That's one person, amen. All right, so, unless you've got a mouse in your pocket, darling, I didn't hear a whole lot of amens with that. Why do I not have joy? Listen to me now, listen to me. We're going to do away with humor this morning. I don't have time to be funny. These are times that we have to do things that we are not doing, and I'm going to use me as an example. The times come when Brother Rod sings a song, Too Many Excuses. And let me explain something to you about excuses. All excuses do is exactly what Brother Rod sings. They send people to hell. And we talk all the time about soul winning. We talk all the time about going out and knocking on doors. And there are a million excuses you can come up with on why not to do it. There's a million things, such as the people that are going out, Brother Rod, they don't do it for the right motive. They do it because they want to make other people impressed. They do it because they want to make other people think that they're great. They have all these great praises. I'm going to tell you right now, that's an excuse that is sending people to hell every single day. Yep. Motive means nothing. And let me help you with that. Can I help you this morning? For the last 2 years, I've dealt with this. A long while ago, we started a Team Jerusalem program. So exciting and so wonderful to go and do. And it was great fun to go out and knock on the doors in Ravenna, Ohio. But why is our joy? Why is your joy today? Why? I'm asking you a question. I don't want you to answer it, but I just want you to think with me. Why in the world is our joy today? Why is it not full? And the simple reason, it all boils down to this, and you can't get around it. You can't try to pussyfoot with it. You can't try to sugarcoat it. There's nothing else you can do but say, my joy is not full because I'm not abiding in Christ. That's it. Now we can say, well, Brother Dave, the weather was so bad that I couldn't go out and tell anybody about Christ today. You're not abiding in Him. Well, Brother Dave, the weather, the times are so tough today. I've got to work 800 hours. And yes, you do have to work to provide for your family. And yes, I agree that you should take the time to provide for your family. But understand this. There's a call that's gone out. It's a command from our Lord Jesus Christ to tell people about Him. It's a command. Now, I've got no problem standing up here, and I love teaching on tithing. And I showed you the verses that God loves a cheerful giver. And I explained to you that, yes, God loves a cheerful giver, but you don't have to be happy to give. The Lord commands you to give 10%. And you ought to give 10% whether you like it or not. If you abide in Him, you'll give your tithe, and your joy will start. Now, I'm not saying your joy starts with tithing, but your joy starts with obedience. Now understand this, the Bible says in no uncertain terms that we are to go. How many would you say amen with that?
Amen.
But how many of you in your life have drummed up excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse on why not to go? And I don't want you to raise your hands because I don't have enough hands to raise. You might say, well, Brother Dave, you're a Baptist preacher. You ought to do this or you ought to do that. I know more than one Baptist preacher that's fallen into the trap of motive. I know more than one Baptist preacher that's fallen in the trap of excuses on why not to go. And this is what happened. Several times we went out. Several times. And I'm just giving you my heart here. You can take this as what you want. I know that I've got to change my life. I've been dealing with Brother Phil. We talked about the program that I want to start that's coming up next week. We talked about this just before I went on vacation. And he's been praying for me. I love that. But please don't stop praying for me. But please understand that when I say that I'm full of holes, I'm telling you truth. Man, I've got issues that I'm dealing with in my Christian life that everybody needs to deal with, and you need to come to grips with what the Lord would have you to do. You've got to do that someday. You've got to. To stand up here and tell you that a Baptist preacher stands up and tells you he's perfect and doesn't have holes, send him out. Because I've got news for you. All Baptist preachers are sinners just like you. Brother Phil's been praying for me. He said, Brother Dave, I've been praying that the Lord would show you some things. And I've been praying for the last year, Lord, please show me some things. Please, Lord, help me to deal with this. Help me to get over this. Help me to get the feelings that I have out of my heart, because I see all these great and wonderful things that are happening, Lord. But I would throw excuse after what they're doing. Well, bless God, they're doing this, but bless God, they're not doing it right, or they're not doing it for this. Understand this. God doesn't care about the motive of what you do. God just cares that it gets done. Ooh, I didn't hear a lot of amens there. Hey, let me tell you something. I sat across the table from a Baptist preacher not too long ago, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it until my heart is pure. That preaches good, doesn't it? The problem is, it's wrong. I'm starting to hear people squirm all over the place now. I must be tugging on some heartstrings this morning, Brother Rod. The Lord commanded us to go. Command. He is not asking for your time. He is not asking for your obedience. He's commanding you to obey. He's commanding me to obey. And I can throw any excuse I want to at it, Brother Mark. I can do it. And there's tons of them. And there's good ones. There's good excuses out there to grab a hold of and say, well, bless God, all they're doing it for is to show off. All they're doing it for is because they want to show their big numbers. Now your churches all across America give you big numbers. And bless God, you look at them and you get mad. And you say, well, bless God, I'm not seeing any numbers. That is where it is at. Listen to me. When I started going out soul winning, and I want you to hear this. I started going out soul winning, and my nose got cut off by myself. This is what happened. I'm using this as a stumbling block. When I first started going out soul winning, and there was no stumbling blocks in my way, I said, bless God, I'm going to do it no matter what. And it doesn't matter why I did. It doesn't matter why I went out. Understand this. It doesn't matter why you go out, why you stay home. Well, if you stay home, you're wrong. If you go out, you're right. It doesn't matter what your motive is. Hear me now. You've got to hear this. You've got to come to grips with this, because this is true. God commanded you to do it. See, well, shouldn't your heart be pure?
Forget the Puritans. You just go. Your heart will get there. Your heart will catch up with what God has told you. Your heart will help you. God will help your heart. God is greater than your heart. One of the greatest scriptures in all that. One of the greatest texts in all the Bible is God is greater than your heart. Your heart condemns you, but God is greater than your heart. Amen. Let your heart condemn you, but continue to go. And I put this stumbling block out in front of me. I didn't win anybody. I'm telling you, I went out for months and didn't win a soul. Not for months. Obviously, the first thing that comes to your mind is obviously I'm bad at it. Obviously, I'm scary looking because people, I come to their door and they'd open it 1 inch. What do you want? Nothing. Seriously. You laugh, but seriously. Try your best to slip that 1/8-inch track through their door. Because you know. And the doors I go to the door, my kids go to one door. Oh, look at the little kid. I go to the door. Now, let me tell you. Yeah, that's not the dog.
Man, that's good. I'm glad you're here. The Lord likens soul winning to a harvest. Is that not right? He likens it to a harvest. I got to thinking, I grew up in a farming community. I grew up where my Uncle Delano farmed over 540 acres with a 2-prong combine. It was back in the days when people worked. And he had me working with him. I didn't like it too much. But there were years that he would have a bad crop. Please listen to me here. When my Uncle Dell had a bad crop, did he stop being a farmer? Please hear me. Just because he had a bad crop didn't mean he stopped sowing seed. He went and planted again. And he kept planting. And he kept planting. And he kept planting. Eventually he had a good crop. Eventually he saw many bushels of corn or soybeans or whatever he planted. Eventually he saw a great yield. But it wasn't because he quit. It wasn't because he said, well, obviously I'm not a good farmer. Obviously, I don't have the ability. I don't have the gift that other farmers have to bring forth a good crop. So why should I keep farming? The Lord never promised us that every time we'd go soul winning, we'd win a soul. The Lord never promised us that every time we'd go soul winning, we'd get joy. I hate standing in front of you trying to choke back emotions. I hate this. You know that this is not faith. The Lord commands us to go. He tells us to keep going. It's not a choice. See, what's amazing is view soul winning is, I've got to make a life choice. That's not what soul winning is. Soul winning is a life change. Why do I not have joy? In Galatians chapter 5, we learn that joy is a fruit. And we learned that in Galatians chapter 5, and it got me to thinking, if joy is a fruit, fruit doesn't come out adult size. Fruit comes out small. Fruit has to be grown. Now, I want you to read these passages one more time, and I want you to see something in here that's very, very amazing to me. And the Lord shows us this, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but it got me a little excited. And got understand this. This has been coming for a year. This has been coming for a year, and good people like Phil Howard praying for me. And seeking God to say, hey, you know what? I think that Brother Dave needs help. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that you thought needed help? Think with me for a minute. Why, what would we rather pray for them, or would we rather talk about them behind their back? Would we rather pray for them or would we rather cut their legs off? Let me tell you something. The Lord needs every one of us. I'm going to tell you, if you're not doing the job today, just start doing the job. I'm not concerned with your past. I'm not concerned with what you used to do. I'm not concerned with the fruit that you had. I'm concerned with what are you doing today. Oh yes, I understand that we all have different gifts. I understand that we all have different talents. But understand this, God did not tell you because of your talent to go. God did not tell you because of what you're able to do you should go. God did not tell you because of all these things you should go. God just said you should go. And I'm telling you right now, for no less than a year, the Lord has been dealing with me, saying, you know what? You are not doing the job. I said, well, Lord, I'm running the school. It doesn't matter you're not doing the job. Well, Lord, I'm doing this. No, you're not doing the job. Well, Lord, I've got my hands in this over here. He says, you're not doing the job. I'll tell you what put the final knife into my heart. When we were down in Florida, remember the wonderful story that Dad told you about talking to the English people in the Gulf of Mexico? This is what did it for me. And this is why, let me explain to you why it did it. It made me help you. I sat and talked with that English man for 20 minutes before my dad talked to me. Please hear me. Brother Mark, it wasn't that I didn't want to tell him. And I guarantee you, if you look across this room, I am sitting in a room full of people that would love to win somebody to Christ. If you would be a Christian, tell me, I don't want to win somebody to Christ, and you need to get saved.
Right.
Here's what hurt me. It's not wanting to or not wanting to lead him to Christ. But the call of thought never hurt my mind. Stir that one in your mind for a little bit. When you're out speaking to people, does it come up? Because it never crosses your mind. Let me explain something to you. This last few weeks, and I told Brother God, I opened my heart to him before I left on vacation. I said, Brother Phil, it's killing me. It's killing me because I'm not doing a job and I have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. I hope you're dealing with it. And I hope if you're not dealing with it, that after today you start to deal with it. Because let me tell you something, the reason you don't have joy is because you're not abiding in Christ. If you abide in Christ, you have to do what he says.
That's
right. You do. Well, when you know when your kids are joyful? They're joyful when they're obeying their parents. That's the way it is. And I said to myself, I heard preacher, and what, I went up and I've got psoriasis real bad, and I like to get out in the sun as much as possible. So I tried to get out in the sun. And I hear my dad talking to them in the Gulf. And it was just like a knife went through me. Why aren't you talking to them, stupid? See, he was talking to you. You had the opportunity. Yes, I'm glad that they got passed off on my dad, and my dad decided to tell them about Christ, and I watched my dad. He does it everywhere he goes. He talks to people about Christ everywhere he goes. You say what you want to about your pastor, but he talks to people about Christ wherever he's at.
That's right.
And the Lord said to me, go. Do you see what I'm trying to do for you? Do you see what I'm trying to... I have sent somebody. I sent somebody from England through your path. You had the opportunity to tell them. What's sad is it's not that you said you're not going to tell them. It's that it never came up in your mind. And I'm going to tell you right now, you work in the ministry long enough, the ministry starts to become a job after a while. It's not a job. It's a ministry and a calling. And what's amazing is we go day after day, day after day, day after day, looking to find joy in our lives. Looking to find, man, why am I not happy? I'll tell you why you're not happy. You're not happy because you're not abiding in Christ. I want you to see this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I'm so glad he's given me mercy enough to stay here. I'm so glad that I'm not dead yet. Because there's people that are left to win, and I'm so thankful that he has not killed me yet. I'm thankful he hasn't taken that branch away. Because, hey, if you're not bearing fruit, he takes you away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Here's the thing. Do you start out as a branch? Think with me. A tree doesn't grow into a branch immediately. A tree starts out as a sapling. A tree starts out as something that needs to grow into something that has branches. You might say, well, Brother Dave, I don't feel like I'm a branch yet. You're probably not, and that's okay. Grow a little bit and start to witness for Christ. Good Lord, some of us aren't even on the tree. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Why aren't you bringing forth fruit? Because you're not abiding in the vine. Why are you not bringing forth fruit? Now listen. The Lord commands you to go. You may not see fruit right away. You may not. I wonder if the Lord's just wanting to know if you're going to keep going. I wonder if the Lord's working you out a little bit, giving you a little exercise to see if you'll keep on going for him, no matter how good or bad the harvest is. He worked me out and was very disappointed at the end of the workout. He was very disappointed in watching me go for a little while, not win anybody to Christ, and then quit. And in watching me go from day to day, and let me tell you something, I will unequivocally say this, nobody works harder here than I do. You can say what you want to say. I give my life here. But that does not give me the joy that Christ can give. Yes, you can work every day for God. You can go to a million churches, Brother Rod, but the joy abides in bearing fruit. You can say what you want to say. You can slap it any way you want. I've been going through an unbelievable amount of guilt over the last year because I ceased to bear fruit. The fruit that he's speaking of. The fruit that gives us fruit and then more fruit and then much fruit. And then at the end of the much fruit is full joy. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That got me to thinking. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. The thought crossed my mind. Maybe I wasn't going out with him in the first place. Hard to choke down. Because, let me explain something to you. I knocked on hundreds of doors here. Hundreds. I let nobody. I didn't even get anybody to talk to me. It got me to wondering, Brother Rod, after I started studying this, was I going out without the Lord? And I understand it makes no difference why you go out. The motive is doesn't matter why you go out, just that you go out. But make sure that the partner that you take with you is the Lord. Make sure that when you go out, when you go to win souls, when you go to tell people about Christ, make sure that you go out with God with you. And I understand you need to have another person with you to go out two by two, but let me tell you, go out with God with you. Because to go out without the partner, to go out without the vine, how in the world can you be a branch and not have the vine with you? How in the world can you go out and expect to win people to Christ when you don't bring the Christ that wins them? And hey, you know what? When you go through droughts, don't think for 1 minute that maybe Christ is not with you. Maybe he is. But you know what? Maybe he isn't. And maybe we are going out sometimes for the wrong reasons, but that doesn't stop us from going out. And eventually what you've got to come to grips with is we have a job to do here on this planet Earth. And it all boils down to this, and you need to hear this because I needed to hear it. Heaven or hell is all that's left at the end. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how big your car is, how big your home is, how much money you've got in your pocket. All that goes away. What's left at the end?
and burn them up. You can do all the things that you want to do, but understand this. When it all boils down to the very end, how many people did you help to win? How many people did you keep out of hell?
I'm glad that there's not a lot of amen in here. Because every one of us can examine our lives. Every single one. You can say, well, you can look at me and say, well, Brother David's not doing a good job. You know what? Fine, fire me. Get me out of here. That's fine, but understand this. I've come to grips with something. It's not where you work. It's not where you minister. What it is do you have Christ with you, and do you do what he tells you to do? No matter where you're at, no matter where you're from, it all boils down to what do you do for souls? That's it. There's nothing else. When is the last time that you got along with God and you looked at yourself? You looked at yourself in the mirror and said, you know what? I am right where he is right now. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we have a wonderful church, exciting, going. We have a great program here. Brother Phil's doing a fantastic job on visitation. But understand this. It's not how good of a job Brother Phil does on visitation. How good of a job do you do? I talked to Brother Phil before I left on vacation. I'm at a point in my life right now, this very minute. I do not care what people think about me anymore. I don't. I really don't. Like me or not, I really don't care. What I care about is the fact that I haven't been doing my job. That's what I care about right now. I care about the fact that the Lord's given me a wonderful call. He's given me everything I've got. He's given it all to me. I've done nothing on my own. I've never not preached that. I've always preached that God has given me everything. But I haven't given everything back. Well, Brother Dave, I've heard all this before. You've talked about all this before. I know. It's sad that the Lord has to deal with me more than once on this. And I'm so thankful that you never have to be dealt with more than once on your problems. Man, that's good preaching. Brother Dave, you sound mean today. I'm glad, because I feel like I've been mean. I feel like I haven't done what I'm supposed to do, and because of that, I'm being mean to the Christ. He's given me the very mercy that I have every single day. Understand this. By the way, we did the job that I set out to do at the first. I was excited to get every door in Ravenna knocked. I believe with all my heart that we did. We got every door in Ravenna knocked. So what? So what? Why in the world would you set a goal to only knock on one city? That's crazy. Why would you set a goal to only do this or only do that? I mean, goals are good. Do you know what goals do, though? Goals give you an excuse to stop once you reach them. Put that in your pipe. I hope the second bell doesn't ring very soon, because I feel really good right now. Understand this. You have got to come to grips with the simple fact that the Lord has given you a job and you have no excuse not to do it. I can't talk good. No excuse. I don't look good. No excuse. None of us look good. Understand that? We got a room full of ugly people here that need to go out and tell people about Christ. Amen. I can't walk well. No excuse. You have no excuse. Doesn't matter if you can't walk good. You can still get out there and tell people about Christ. I can't do this. I'm too embarrassed. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. The Lord hung on the cross completely naked. Is that embarrassing to you? Because that's what he did for you. Knocking on the door is too scary. He faced the cat of nine tails. I think that was a little bit more scary. Although some of the residents of Shalersville do scare you pretty close. Every day, hear me. Every day, by God's grace, I'm making a change in my life. Every day. I talked to Brother Phil about this program. He was so excited. It made me feel good that he was excited. I'm so thankful he was excited. I needed somebody to be excited when I talk about this. Brother Phil, thank you for praying for me. You never know what that meant. 4 to 5, 5 days a week. 4 to 5, 5 days a week. After school, I have to take some kids back to Garrettsville. I have to drop them off there, and then I come back. And this is selfish. It's completely selfish. I hope some people get in on it, but even if you don't, it doesn't matter to me. I could care less. When I told my Brother Phil about this, man, we should get the church involved. And that's I hope you do. But even if you don't, that makes no difference to me. 4 to 5, 5 days a week, 1 hour a day. And you say, well, that's only 1 hour, right? How much do you go out?
Friday, I'm going to go from 4 to 5, and I'm going to tell somebody about Christ. I'm not making this promise to you. I don't care what you think. Wrap your head around that. I don't care what you think about this.
Good.
I don't. It makes no difference to me. People not thinking or thinking for me or praying for whatever, that makes no difference to me. I'm commanded to go, and because I'm commanded, that's why I'm going. Oh, it took me this many years to grab a hold of it, and I had to grab a hold of it a couple times, but you know what? I'm glad the Lord continues to talk to you. You should thank God that He's got grace for us. No matter what, from 4 to 5, on 5 days a week, and I don't care what the excuse is, well, it's snowing outside. Yeah, we live in Ohio. Grab all that. It's going to be bad. It's going to be ugly. But there's something that we can do every single day. Every single day, there's something we can do. Yes. Well, why in the world would you have to make it organized? And this is what I came up with. It doesn't need to be organized. You should go soul winning wherever you're at, whenever you're at.
That's right.
There's never a time. There's never a time, hour that you should be going. But this is why I set it up for myself. I don't care.
So there's accountability.
Like it or lump it, I don't care. I set it up because I've got to create a pattern in my life that changes my life. And I can't rely on 1 or 2 days a week here. I can't rely on every once in a while just setting up a time with somebody. I need to do it every day. And in my heart, I believe that if I can put Christ in the forefront of my mind, it'll never come again where He witnesses to somebody because I don't pass on. Because if I have in my heart and in my mind to talk about the Savior that loves me so much, then no matter where I'm at, the first thing on my mind is introducing those people to the Savior that loves me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It gives me chance after chance after chance after chance. What are we here for then? Why are we here if we don't want to introduce to that God that loves us so much? Why are we here? There's no other reason. No. I've told the Lord over and over again how sorry I am. I've been dealing with this for a long time. I told my preacher over again, I confess to him, I'm thankful I got a preacher that gets to me.
Amen.
Well, he's your dad. Well, that makes it easier. Dads are always the first one to beat their children. He just looked at me with the wisdom that he has and said, so fix it. I talked to a good friend of mine who's also a pastor. And I had hate for you, you can tell him. I had bitterness, I had hate, he told me. Brother Dave, just fix it. Just fix it. It'll be all right. I read a book by Brother Gray. And in that book it says, Brother Dave, fix it. Now he didn't include my name in the book, please understand that. Although how cool would it be to have that in the book? Said to me, just because the farmer had one thing to cry, don't stop playing.
Right. Amen.
Don't stop playing.
Right.
Don't look for a motive. Don't look for an excuse. Please don't. And there's hundreds of them over here. Please find joy. And Brother David, you don't look very joyful right now. You have no idea how much joy there is in confession and repentance.
Yes.
You have no idea. The brother Mark, the school could grow to 200. If I have not joy, it makes no difference. Folks, I love you with all my heart. Thank you so much for loving me, but understand this. We need to pray for each other.
Yes.
Because we have a job to do.
Yeah.
And I dare say, as I look along this crowd, that many of you are feeling the same feelings that I'm feeling right now. Many of you are saying, man, Brother Dave, I'm so thankful that you came and gave your heart today because that's right where I'm at too. You need to win. And you need to have fruit and more fruit and much fruit. And at the end of the having much fruit, you will have great joy. And I'll give you one example and I'm all done. How great would it feel preach. He has great joy watching me serve. Why? Because I'm his fruit.
Right.
When's the last time you had joy in your life? Because you obeyed Jesus Christ. Because you obeyed. It's not an asking. It's a command.
Yes.
Please just listen to your father. Listen to him. Don't try to get around him. You were never happy when your kids tried to get around what you told them. You don't think that God's any happier with what you do. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he wasn't happy with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Debbie, I want you to come to the piano. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been challenged this morning. Maybe you just want to come and pray right now. You say, well, preaching ain't preaching time. I think any time is a good time to pray. Some people have already come. Maybe some of us need to come right now and say, oh God, stir my heart. Bring me back where I need to be.